Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here with
Derek Bigley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're here with
Huzzah! Huzzah! Pomp and Circumstance. CW here, Queen for the evening or Queen for the day. Feel free to genuflect.
You're a queen,
you know,
every day.
We didn't bow, Dale. We should have bowed. We should have bowed.
We should have curtsied. I can curtsy.
Off with their heads! Off with their heads!
You're not calling from an emergency room or anything, are you? Checking on the crew here.
Yeah, Gar called in from the emergency room. Then, boy, did we have a little bit of fun with it after the regular broadcast that recorded on. It was Adventures of Gar in the walking the halls and talking to the pharmacist and looking for his car, and
it was insane.
Gar, please get better.
Yeah, Gar called me this morning and said, "Dave, I listened to the end of the show. It was hilarious. We got to go on location more often."
Yeah. Dave's been on location a few times.
I've been on location into the grocery store where you can hear people just crying as their credit card melts or their credit card is denied.
Or they get mugged.
Oh, that too.
There's always the fun of that, yes. But we are wrapping up our Radio Royalty Weekend with another CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Queen of the Cats. Oh, sorry, but my genuflector is on that Fritz this week. You mean like Fritz the cat? Oh, wait, that's not a cat we want to talk about.
No. Maybe you meant Fritz the cat, yeah.
So hello, Fogs Bane and good old Bob live with us in the chat, and we have a good one tonight. Dave, I noticed something weird about our show tonight.
Again?
Yeah, well, E.G. Marshall is the host, but Tammy Grimes is an actress in it.
Yeah, Tammy Grimes actually did 27 Mystery Theaters before she became the host for in 1982 for a badly ailing E.G. Marshall. Actually, also, Tammy Grimes' daughter, Amanda Plummer, made 5 Radio Mystery Theater appearances, including the last 2 installments of the 1982 Les Miserables, or as some of us uneducated call it, Les Miserables, adaption. Ms. Plummer also had the lead to be an Empress, the second to last Radio Mystery Theater, before her mother took over as host.
I'll be darned.
So
wow.
Mystery Theater was kind of a family thing, yeah.
Little nepotism there.
Doesn't hurt. Yeah, so we got some.
So yeah. I just have a hard time sometimes understanding what Tammy Grimes says. Now, I think this was I'll get back here. I think this was an earlier one. From 76. So it did make it a little easier to understand her. But sometimes she almost sounds like she has some marbles in her mouth, or maybe it's the recordings that are that bad. I don't know.
I don't know, but I think there's a natural break in her voice where it gets weak for a minute, and I think it maybe that's what garbles it out. It gets kind of like quiet, it seems to me, and loses a little of its projection.
If you're familiar with the movie, it's in public domain, Terror at 37,000 Feet with William Shatner. I don't know if that rings a bell with anyone.
Yes. That's a classic Twilight Zone.
Yes. She is in that flick.
Ooh.
And her voice does have that odd lilt. It's I guess it's her particular British accent. But yes, it's not the recording. That's the way she. That was her.
Blimey. Hey, in just about 3 weeks, we're going to have our 800th show, kids. 800. Jeez. I don't know how Dave is standing. How could you stand me that long, Dave?
I was going to say I didn't do it, but I guess I did. Yeah. Most of it.
Yeah.
And greetings of thank you to that groundhog rodent, Buckeye Chuck, Puxapony Phil, Beauregard Lee, and French Creek Frank. Apparently, we're going to get an early spring, at least according to them.
You know, here's the thing. I was just doing some work for the station before we came on here. And one of the articles in there was about how often the groundhog is wrong. And it always reminds me of the saying, I'm a rodent, not a meteorologist.
Yep.
Well, apparently none of them were dropped by their handlers, and it would seem none of them, their handlers, at least this year.
Those things get actually in Punxsutawney. There's other groundhogs around the Mideast, but Punxsutawney, of course, gets all the good spotlight, and he gets pampered. I mean, it's amazing. He's got a good life there, that little critter.
They all the ones do. I mean, General Beauregard Lee in Georgia, and your Buckeye Chuck there in Ohio. They're living large. They're living their best life.
There's a family that comes on our property every year. There's this tree they have all these holes under, but I don't think they stay there all winter, because they would at least come out once in a while, and they just come back in the spring, and they have a litter every year of babies. And then in the late fall, they disappear again. And they don't predict weather. They don't predict weather for me. I never see them this time of year.
Sounds like they're
The thing is, if it's a groundhog and it's all over the place, different places are going to have different weather throughout there. I'm looking here. Yeah, in between 2013 and 2023, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow 7 times. And of those 7, he was correct only once.
Great. Everybody.
Hey, he's up there with the local news. Anyway.
That's right. That might be more accurate than the local news, actually.
That's right.
Still. Just because you're more accurate than the local weather forecaster doesn't mean that you're right.
That's true. That's the weather, kids. Best thing to do is just stick your head out the window and see what it's doing out there before you leave. And there you go.
That's right.
But we do have a bit of radio tonight, so let us begin with part one of Queen of the Cats from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yeah.
Dave.
And can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Hello. After last night, I'm just not sure anymore. Anyway, again, starring Tammy Grimes, Queen of the Cats. Episode number 545 comes to us from October 31st of 1976.
Ooh, Halloween.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Yeah,
Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. October 31st is a date of deep antiquity. In the Christian calendar, it is the day before All Souls Day, All Hallows Day, the eve of which is known as Halloween, a time for trick-or-treat and benevolent mischief, long celebrated by children. But the history of this eve is mephistic and malevolent. In the Celtic calendar, those brooding, dark, bloody people celebrated it as the last day of the year, a day given over to witches and warlocks and their sinful and wicked revels.
We found her this morning, ma'am, just the other side of Grant's Woods. The child was dead.
Oh, my God. How?
Well, that's the question. She'd been savaged by... Well, if it wasn't for the fact we ain't had a panther, a cougar, or a mountain lion in this area for the last 20 years, I'd figure one of them for the cause.
If it wasn't, what do you figure?
Well, Miss Taylor, that's just what brought me to you.
Our mystery drama, The Queen of Cats, written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin, and stars Tammy Grimes. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One. If I were to mention casually lycanthropy, kinanthropy, or let's say versipellis, I doubt if the words would stir any emotion. But if you knew that all these terms apply to the transmigration not only of souls, but of bodies, further than that, if you knew they apply to the unholy and unnatural exchange of the human body for that of an animal, if you are informed that these words are part of the glossary that refers to the werewolf, specifically, and in all his forms, would you not feel a run of icy fingers down the backbone, a clutch of terror in the throat, a desperate feeling to cry out, "Let me wake up, I don't want to live this nightmare"? If you don't, just turn off the dial. But if you do, don't go away.
They are hunting me down again. They are hunting me down the night again. As they have through all the ghost history. The bullets whistle through the air and choke along while they thudden speed. In other years, they would have been arrows before that spears. The same swish. The same flunk as they find a mark. Only century after century, they travel faster and make more noise. Yet today, I have less concern. I know none of the weapons turned against me. I feel it. The sharp open stake is a literary anachronism. Besides, even if I'm it, what does it matter? I have 99 times 9 lives to use up since the dawn of time. 9 times more than the lesser gods. For all. Napoleon, Nero, Marie Antoinette, behave yourself and okay. Now then, there we are. Plenty for all. Good wholesome food. Oh, dear. Why do people always drop in unexpectedly at dinner time? Coming! All right, now be good, kiddies. Maybe a new brother or sister is coming to join you. Yes, can I help you?
Sheriff Lige Bascom, ma'am. I wonder if I could come in for a short spell.
Why, you're more than welcome, Sheriff. Can I get you some tansy tea?
No, I reckon not, ma'am. The reason I come by...
Sorry, I don't have anything stronger.
I know how you men are.
No, it ain't that, Miss Taylor. I'm here strictly on business.
Oh. Well, won't you sit down anyway?
You suppose there might be somewhere a bit more private than
here in front of all my boys and girls busy at a hearty meal? Of course. Let's go out of the kitchen and go into the sitting room. Don't use it all that much being alone, so I hope it's fit to visit in.
I'm sure it would be just right, Miss Taylor. Now, I'm sorry to have to bring this up, but, well, it's sort of a question about your cats.
What about them?
Well, you got to admit you got a powerful lot of them.
I do. I know my neighbors figure me a mite touched, but I don't want to be just plain human. I want to be humane.
Ma'am, I don't mean to score you, but...
These Rockies, we're lucky enough to live and breathe in, are one of this country's great natural preserves. But we got outsiders come by the thousands from the east and the south, the north and the far west. We make them welcome here. And all we ask is they leave it the same as they come. So why did they leave all the debris behind them? The garbage is nothing. We can pick it up or let it rot into the earth. The animals are something else again.
Animals?
Pets. Birds, dogs, raccoons, whatever. But most of all, the easiest animals to take advantage of. The cat. They fondle them, feed them, and pet them for a quick summer. And then... when they head for their real home, leave them to fend for themselves. You think me loco because I gather the strays and give them a home?
I didn't say that.
You didn't have to.
I reckon I do now.
Oh, why?
Well, I don't want to make this any more unpleasant than it has to be, ma'am, but, well, one of the Clark children, Susie to be exact, going on 16, disappeared last night. We found her early this morning in Silver Mine Woods, just the other side of Grant's clearing.
I'm glad to hear that.
I don't think so, ma'am. The child was dead.
Oh, my dear. How?
Well, that's the question. She'd been savaged by... well, if I didn't know we haven't had a panther or a cougar or a mountain lion in this area in the last 20 years, I might figure something like that for the culprit.
And if you don't figure something like that, what do you?
Well, ma'am, no one of them alone, of course, but if they was in a pack...
Are you trying to suggest that my cats could have been responsible?
Well, I'm only doing my duty by asking questions.
And then let me answer them for you. I have 63 cats, each of which has a name, and each one is just as different as you and me. I let them run free, but they cannot go beyond the fence I keep them inside of. Silver Mine Woods is at least 4 or 5 miles beyond my compound. And every one of my cats is accounted for as of this minute and last night. And the door out is through the parlor arch to the left.
Oh, now, it ain't exactly me, Miss Taylor. It's the rest of the town. This isn't the first accident of this kind that we've had since...
Since I came to town?
Well, since you took to collecting all them cats.
And since when has that been a crime?
Well, it ain't exactly a crime, ma'am. Now, Miss Taylor, I'm asking you to be reasonable. The people in this town are up in arms. That poor child was badly mutilated.
Want to blame it on my little pussycats. Let them prove my little boarders were responsible.
Well, maybe they can't, but can you prove they weren't? Ma'am, I got to warn you. They are forming a citizens' committee.
Vigilantes, more like.
Well, I hope it won't come to that. No, they mean to go to law first.
All right. I'll meet them attorney for attorney.
Well, that could be an expensive process. And you'll be hard put to find any local lawyer who'd want to represent you in this. It wouldn't make them a heap of friends.
Then I'll import one if I have to.
Yeah, I'm afraid you might be stubborn. Anyways, meantime, I have a warrant here to search the premises.
What for?
Evidence of any kind. I'd like to see the cats.
I'd better come with you.
Are you afraid they might tear me apart?
My cats are as gentle as babies. I just want to make sure you don't do any harm to them. I knew it would come to this sooner or later. I could move on or fight. For me, there was no choice. I had to protect my cats. I wasn't going to be ousted. I would stay and fight.
This is the office of Anthony Reddick, attorney at law. Well, come in. The door's open. Mr. Reddick isn't here, but I expect him back from court any moment. Be with you in a minute. Please, sit down. Yes. Yes, sir. Well, you see, I'm not his regular secretary. I'm just his landlord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll tell Tony, Mr. Reddick, to call you back. Ma'am, did you want to see Mr. Reddick?
Quiet, Harris. Yes, miss, I do.
He should be back any moment. Could you wait?
I think so. I'm quite good at it.
I'm sure he could make time to see you.
I'm sure he could, since he doesn't have any other clients.
I beg your pardon? Why, that's not true.
Of course it is. That's why I'm here. But it's very brave of you to cover up for him.
I'm not covering up. But as his secretary...
Oh, my dear, you're not his secretary.
How do you know?
Because I'm a very old lady who knows a great deal more about too many things than possibly she ought to.
Hey, Carrie, I'm sorry, but they didn't have any yogurt at the...
This is a client, Tony. I didn't have a chance to get her name.
Hush, Harris. My name is Mrs. Taylor, Mr. Reddick.
Well, how do you do? Honey, Carrie, you want to take the groceries while I take Mrs. Taylor into the office and... Hey, that's quite an amazing cat.
Yes. She's my most favorite. Although one shouldn't have favorites.
What breed is she?
I don't think Harris could be confined to any one breed. She's unique. Very special cat. An original. Shall we all go in together?
Oh, I don't think I'd...
I didn't mean you, dear. I meant Mr. Reddick and me and Harris. You see, she and I are never really separated. I saw the girl's puzzled look, but I didn't stop to explain. How could I? That Harris was my other self. Or one of them. My mirror image. Or one of them. I wondered to myself as I followed this young man into his inner office what he might think if he could see Harris. Human shape. That other reflection of me. Someday he would, for he drew me this young man with his blonde Viking looks and the sinuous, easy ripple of his muscles that I could see beneath his clothes as he moved. For a long time, and desire, like a sleeping snake, uncoiled and undulated all along the old body I had lived in too long. But first came safety, as I told him, what had brought me there.
Well, from what you tell me, I don't think you have any real problem, Mrs. Taylor.
But you're afraid to take my case.
I didn't say that.
Then why do you hesitate?
Well, I am a lawyer. I should take a look into it, first of all.
You think my cats are responsible for the child's death?
Not if what you tell me is true.
Hush, hush, Harris. You see, it isn't only my cats I'm afraid for.
I beg pardon?
Mass hysteria. Mob violence. I'm an old woman alone. I could be in danger, too. I need help. Please.
I don't think you have anything to be afraid of. Well, neither of us do. If you want me, Mrs. Taylor, you have me. And like they say in the old funny story, that goes for your cat, too.
Nothing to be afraid of. Oh, my naive and trusting young lawyer. My need for you is far different than the other life force which drove me to reach for sustenance, but no less strong. You are my desire, my blonde and trusting love god, and although you couldn't know it yet, like the queen bee and the chosen drone, your fate was written in fire and destruction. Your doom was sealed.
The nightmare has only begun, the fabric of it still in the weaving, the terror and disaster and agony not yet stitched into the tapestry. Remember, I said in the beginning, no need to listen unless you couldn't resist. For those of you who can't, I shall return shortly with Act Two.
It's 2 a.m. A man is at your back door, cutting out one of the small panes of glass. He knows that you're asleep upstairs, but he doesn't know that waiting for him, right down the hall, is a Master Lock burglar alarm, the new Ultrasound X. It looks like a small stereo speaker, just plugs into any electrical outlet. When it senses movement, it starts screaming, and it can set off remote alarms by sending a signal over the household wiring. It'll even set off remote alarms in a neighbor's house. The man eases the glass out, reaches in, unlocks your door, and you're safe. You can have this electronic burglar protection for less than you might think. To find the nearest Master Lock alarm dealer, call this toll-free number right now, 800-528-6050, 800-528-6050. Call tonight and sleep tight tomorrow night.
Is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you when you're ready. Ready with the answers and advice given by professionals in helping thousands just like you, but each with different individual needs. Northwest Federal's professionals can show you, too, the best way to save for a new home, college education, or retirement. Northwest Federal's counselors can explain all the savings plans and help you set up a savings program to meet your special needs. Home loan specialists can tailor a home loan plan to help make your dreams a reality. Bring your needs to any of five convenient Northwest Federal Savings Centers throughout Chicagoland's great Northwest Territory. If you think your needs are special, so does Northwest Federal Savings. All the time. Because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours.
It's Northwest Federal Savings time, 53 hours a week.
Meow, 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 meow.
Morris, time for Din Din. Remember Morris? Hey, kids.
Meow.
There? Oh, there we go.
Meow. Meow.
And it looks like Dave got cut out again, just like yesterday.
Oh, no.
We're temporarily Dave-less.
Dave's back. No, Dave's here.
Dave's not here.
I didn't use the blog talk thing. I used Google Voice. So I am still here.
Dave's not here.
No, Dave's here. Ask Goat. Yep.
Thus saith the goat.
This was Halloween night of 1976. A great.
Yes.
A good one for that night. Pretty scary. Tammy is pretty creepy in this.
She is very creepy in this.
Yeah.
I got a good, a different kind of lesson with her than what you usually do. Sometimes she's a broken housewife and things like this, but here she just kind of creepy and evil. I like that.
Yeah, and I think she's reveling in the role a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. I bet you.
I think
it was fun to be the bad guy back then. It was fun to be the bad guy back then. Vincent Price and Boris Karloff would openly admit those things.
Well, and you know what? Sometimes the better the bad guy, the better it makes the good guy.
Exactly.
Just like when you think about the original Die Hard movie, if that guy weren't such a son of a gun, you know, John McClane wouldn't look like such a hero.
Hans. What was his last name? Oh, gosh.
Gruber?
They give up.
Hans Gruber.
Hans
Gruber. Hey, mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers. There's that great meme of him falling off the building at the end that people have used for various things.
Oh, yes. That is just priceless.
It is. It's a priceless meme.
Yep.
But theme for the queen, the female monarch, as it were, there is more than a few movies that have the title of queen in their moniker.
Ooh.
Yes. For example, the 1933 movie, The Circus Queen Murder, Dwight Fry, Renfield from Bela Lugosi's Dracula.
Yep.
And Adolf Monjou, wonderful character actor.
I have to see that one now.
Ooh. Oh, heck yeah. Then you have the 1947 Queen of the Amazons. Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. That's an epic.
You have
there you go. Yeah.
The 1929 Queen of the North Woods. I think that's a talkie.
Yeah, but it's in West Virginia.
From 29?
So yep. It's the toothless queen of the North Woods.
Oh, dear.
She's got a corncob pipe, you know. That's a.
That's West by God, Virginia, to you, sir.
That's right.
Oh, there you go. At least we not, forget Hans Christian Andersen. There are multiple versions of The Snow Queen.
Oh, that's right. It took a whole new meaning in the 70s, but.
Oh, dear.
But, yeah. I forgot about her. And we
and
can't forget
also,
the evil queen from Snow White.
Yeah. At least we not forget the one, the only, the famous hotelier, Leona Helmsley, the Queen of Mean.
There you go.
There you go.
She was naughty. Very naughty.
Yes,
we can talk about Dairy. So, what about Dairy Queen?
That's the good queen.
Ice cream.
Yes.
Ice cream.
Let
oh,
no foul words be said about ice cream.
And the chairman of the board himself, Frank Sinatra, was in a movie in 1966 called Assault on the Queen, The Robbery of the Queen Mary.
Ah. Somebody stole the Queen Mary? Wow. Was it Doug Henning?
Or salt shaker or something. I don't know.
Well, if anybody could do it, it would be the chairman of the board, old Blue Eyes himself.
Yeah, he can get away with anything pretty much.
That's from 60 what? That's from 60 what?
1966.
Hey, thank you. I'd like to look that one up. I'm a fan of Frank Sinatra and his acting. I do like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he
and
did okay.
Here's one. Yeah. This one is definitely something that you might want to look up for weirdness, really bad movie. 1973. I believe it's called Hannah. Queen of Vampires.
Barbara. Oh, no.
Wrong Hannah.
All right, that's all right.
And not the Yabba-Dabba-Doo.
I don't think... Yeah, unfortunately, just because it's a bad movie doesn't make it public domain.
Oh, there's that.
That's true. There's those that ought to be in the public domain. That probably falls into that category.
I know. Somebody
and I don't
asked
know
me once if I could host... Somebody asked me once if I could host any movie, what would it be? And I said, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. I would love to host that one.
That would be fun.
Is that thing not in that public domain?
It is not.
Are you kidding?
It is not, no. I was just saying, just because the movie's bad does not make it public domain, no.
Holy moly. I am shocked. Well, and radio show, I don't know if you mentioned this, the radio show Queen for a Day?
No, actually, it was that on radio and on television, both. Yeah, it did transfer to television. It was kind of a quiz show where they could win prizes for their kitchen or something like that. I think they didn't win much, but they won stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. And you won a brand new wooden spoon. Ooh, ah.
Spoon.
You won a brand new rolling pin. Well, good. My husband suggested I go on the show. I've got something to show him now.
Ah.
Off with
I have
heads.
A fear of that appliance. Or...
Off with their head. Where's the rolling
yes.
pin?
That would do it. That would do it.
That will do it. Yes, indeed. Well, we better get moving here with part two of Queen of the Cats from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
A sweet old lady, Sarah Taylor, lives with 63 stray cats that she cares for. Many people, out of compassion, are kind enough to sacrifice something of themselves to help and care for defenseless and abandoned animals. But this old lady is a very special lady, a Halloween figure of monstrous and terrifying evil. If you haven't guessed that already, you will shortly begin to find out.
Hush, hush, my darling. Your mother is taking care of all of you. You have nothing to fear. Let those who move against us learn to cower in terror. As long as the moon is full, we rule the nights. Ours is the power and the glory. You will inherit the world, and I am your queen in whatever guise I choose to cloak myself. You like me as I am now, As I was in my first reincarnation, Harish Wola. Oh, in this guise I could hold the world in thrall. But I need the flesh of virgins to keep this flesh whole and viable, and a chase is seldom worth the effort. Still, this one time, perhaps, there is a full moon. And whenever the need arises, I shall take your shape, our shape, my original form, and stalk my prey.
Come in.
Excuse me, Tony, but the sheriff is here to see you.
Ah, well, show him in, Carrie.
I'm already on my way, Mr. Reddy. Hey, mighty good-looking new secretary you got.
Well, that isn't my secretary. It's my fiancé.
Oh, well, now, it's a pleasure to meet up with you, ma'am. You're not from these parts.
No, up north. Collins. But we met in the east at college. Carrie, this is Sheriff Elijah Bascom.
Howdy.
How are you, Sheriff?
Well, a whole lot better just to see someone as pert and pretty as you, ma'am. Tony, when's a big day?
Ooh, late spring, I guess, soon as Carrie's graduated.
I'm just out here on a visit, Sheriff. Between terms. I do get to miss the man.
I wonder, Miss Chisholm, if you could leave me here with Tony, Mr. Reddick, for a minute. I got some official business with him.
Oh, of course.
Look, honey, why don't you go back to the hotel? You don't have to tie yourself up here.
But I like it here. Besides, I have some official business with you myself, just as soon as you're free. Bye, Sheriff. Nice meeting you.
Bye, Miss Chisholm. Tony.
Hmm?
Why'd you have to go mix into this whole mess with Sarah Taylor and her damn cats?
I think the town is giving a very sweet and kind old lady a raw deal.
Sweet and kind, my foot. She's a crack brain.
Not just because she digs cats.
One cat, two, three, four maybe, but 63? Now, come on. You think that's natural?
For her, yes. She's a little eccentric, but you know as well as I do that she isn't breaking any laws. What's the idea of harassing her? You know, you're leaning on her, Legion.
Sure, I'm leaning on her. You want to know why? Because the whole town's scared and is pushing and pressuring me.
Now, you don't seriously think these mysterious deaths in the past year have anything to do with her cats. Where's the evidence?
Well, there isn't any. You know, I know these girls weren't mauled by any house cat or even a whole pack of them.
Everybody in town knows that. Knows that it's one big cat we got to hunt down.
Yeah, but that we haven't been able to. And that's what's getting to the people.
It's still no reason to start picking on a poor old lady who gives shelter to animals that human beings have abandoned. Now, she ought to get a medal instead of threats and abuse.
Oh, son, there's just no sense to a mob, and that's what this town is becoming. I got to stop it while I still got some control. That Ms. Taylor and her army of cats is just like, what's like lighting a match next to a short fuse. We got to find out what animals out there in the dark, sure. But till we do, we also got to get rid of all them cats, or this town's going to explode high, wide, and fancy.
Oh, my innocent and beautiful one. My naive Adonis. How simple all problems seem to the young. Why should you draw me so close? Ah, you have known the heights and the depths to whom all carnal knowledge is not only familiar, but a frequent indulgence. And yet, the old inescapable desire, the hope and compulsion makes the phoenix rise again and again from the ashes. It was the girl who began it all. She walked into my parlor by herself.
Mrs. Taylor?
Yes?
I don't know if you remember me, but...
Of course I do, my dear. You were that nice girl in Mr. Reddick's office.
Who wasn't his secretary. As you guessed, somehow. I don't know how.
That wasn't very complicated. What brings you here?
I'm just here visiting Tony, and I'm renting a room. Whoever was there before me picked up this poor little kitten and made it a pet. Then, when her vacation was over, walked out and left it behind. The landlady won't take him, and I'm going back to college where they don't allow pets in my dorm. I was wondering if maybe...
Of course, my dear. Come right in. Just let me take care of you. First of all, give me the little kitty. Has he been fed?
Oh, yes.
Then we'll just put him out with the rest of the boys and girls to play. You see, they have the whole backyard to frolic in. It's over an acre.
No.
Playtime isn't over. No one comes back in the house yet. Here's a new friend for you. Sometimes they really are a handful.
I don't know how you manage without any help.
Oh, I manage. I'm not completely alone, you know. I have my, well, a relative is always with me. Tell me, did Tony send you?
Tony? No. Why?
I thought he might be doing a little checking up on me before he takes me as his client.
No. Honestly, this was my idea. I don't meddle in Tony's business ever.
Then I'm sure you'll make him a very good wife. You are going to be married, aren't you?
Oh, yes. This spring when I graduate.
So, what is it you study that is so important?
Oh, a sort of obscure field that I'm sure you wouldn't be very interested in. Parapsychology.
Just what is that?
Well, it's the study of, experiences and happenings beyond a natural explanation.
You mean the supernatural?
Well, depending on the definition.
I mean ghosts and spirits and vampires and werewolves and the like.
Well, you know, that's why it's sort of hard to explain to someone who... Well, I mean, I don't mean you couldn't understand, but... Well, it's a science. See, not a superstition. The real supernatural. Something we aren't yet ready to explain. Like ESP.
ESP.
Extrasensory perception. You know, it's like clairvoyance or precognition.
My, such big words.
Oh, I didn't mean to be a bore.
Oh, not at all, my dear. You have all my interest. Tell me, are you like that? I mean... Can you see things in advance or get messages from another world?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I think. That's why I'm studying, but... Well, I haven't yet proved it all the way.
Maybe it would be better if you didn't. Tell me, when do you have to go back east?
Well, Tony's driving me to Denver on Tuesday. I fly from there.
Then you only have a couple of days left?
That's right. Then I disappear.
Disappear? Tell me, are you going straight back to college or university or whatever you call it?
College. And as a matter of fact, I'm not going straight back. I guess it's a little wanderlust. But I'm making a couple of stopovers on the way. You know, drop in on some old friends.
Going to be out of touch, hmm?
Well, never really thought of it that way. But yeah, I guess I am. I really must run now. I can't thank you enough about the kitten. And I guess maybe I should say goodbye.
Of course. I shouldn't think we'll be seeing each other again. Goodbye, my dear.
Goodbye.
You might tell your Tony I'd like to see him as soon as he has time for me.
I watched her move away from me, lithe, long-limbed, her stride loose and easy with the spring of youth. How I envied her for being young and for being carefree and for knowing that soon she would be beside that vital man, Tony, touching, loving, and being loved. The winds of change are blowing again. I feel the pull of the moon, the call of all the ancient carnal appetites stirring in me, the heady scent of blood in my nostrils. Death is in the air. I feel its trailing scars touching me like smoke, swirling about me, tempting me to destruction. But whose? Whose destruction? And is it worth the risk?
The musings of Sarah Taylor, a kindly little old woman with a fondness for cats. Is she becoming senile, and is her brain stocked with the dreams of madness? Or is she something so primarily malevolent that she stretches beyond the borders of our belief? I shall return shortly with Act Three.
15 minutes. It's a very short time. Not enough time to do much. You can't read a book or plant a garden or see a movie. But if your friend has had too much to drink, 15 minutes is plenty of time for him to get into a car and drive down a dark road and run into a tree or another car and die. In 15 minutes, your friend could be dead forever. Don't let that happen. Care for him. Do something. In the same short 15 minutes, you could save your friend's life. With a few cents worth of gas, you could drive him home safely, or you could put him into a cab. Take the time to care for a friend. 15 minutes. That's all it would take. If you don't take the time, if you let him drive and your friend dies, think of all the years and years you'll have to live with it. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation.
The following is a paid political announcement. We're interviewing people at Chicago area supermarkets about the cost of living.
You can't buy too much for a dollar anymore.
The prices are getting outrageous, that's all.
It's ridiculous, and everything costs too much.
These are not actors, they're real people. These facts are real, too. In 1968, when the Democrats left office after 8 years, 2.8 million people were unemployed. After 8 years of Republican administration, the number of unemployed increased to 7.4 million. After 8 years of a Democratic administration, the number of unemployed went down 27%. Today, after 8 years under Republicans, the number of unemployed has gone up 163%.
I feel the country is in need of a change.
Well, I'm voting Democratic.
Why are you voting Democratic?
Because I've been out of work for quite a while, and I blame this administration, too.
For more jobs, vote Democratic November 2nd. People live better under Democrats. Paid for by Democratic Party of Cook County Campaign Fund and Democratic Party of the City of Chicago Campaign Fund.
My, that's an old commercial.
We all know that. we all know that the Republican presidents want to have high unemployment. We all know that.
Yes, that's true.
Very timely, though. Very apropos for this day and age that we are in.
That's true. Very true.
Good radio program tonight.
It is.
Yes,
it is.
I'd love to get a degree in parapsychology, but what would you do with it? I mean, I suppose you could go on the history panel. I mean, what do you do?
You're right. I mean, when I was working my way through college at York Steakhouse, we had a guy who was an assistant manager who had a PhD in philosophy. Outside of teaching, what can you do with a PhD in philosophy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
just silly. Yeah. It's just silly.
Yeah, there's really
they
not
have
much
it in colleges and universities. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
No, I'm just going to say they now have it in universities where you can get a degree in creative writing. Really?
Yeah. Well, it's like B. Arthur said in History of the World. I'm a stand-up philosopher. Oh, you're a BSer.
Oh,
You know, BSer.
How long has it been since you last BS?
Did you BS last week? Did you BS last week? No. Did you try BS last week? Yes.
Yes, well, it's strange. I've had managers who've had master's degrees in other things, but not in what the industry that they're getting the job for, that they hire outside.
Yeah.
For example, all of us knew exactly what we were doing because we'd done it long enough. Then they hire someone by virtue of them having a master's. They've never even been in the building. Little known know what they're doing, but they have a master's degree.
Oh, don't get me started on that stuff. You know,
Well, I know. I mean, if you can get a degree in parapsychology or creative writing, I want a degree in Star Trek or Star Wars.
There you go.
Absolutely.
We should have a degree in old-time radio.
Oh, there you are.
We should have a degree in old-time radio.
You should. I don't know about me. You certainly should, Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You should have an absolute Rhodes Scholar Fulbright scholarship on that one, Dave.
Yep.
Most definitely.
And before we get into part three of our program tonight and the conclusion, I want to bring to everyone's attention that Dave, not only is he a horror host, okay, you know, or a movie host, I should say, a movie host on Weird and It's Really Bad Movie and Starship One. He is also a radio host like here, and he also does public radio for the blind. But he's also an author. And I believe that there will be a book coming out soon, authored by the great Dave Binkley.
But before Christmas time, it will be available on Amazon for everyone. And I know Fogsbane, I'm pretty sure Fogsbane has a couple months.
Wait a minute.
We will have
a
brand new.
Wait a minute. There we go. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. We will have Huggy the Caveman. We'll have a collection of the things that he has invented throughout the years. Yes, Huggy the Caveman is coming to an Amazon.com near you.
Yeah.
Just
in time for the holidays.
Dave Binkley, a man of all.
It's a great stocking stuffer. Or you stuff it in somebody's mouth, one or the other, you know. Good words to eat.
I have been the beneficiary of a sneak preview. And I think you're going to love it, folks. I think you're going to love it.
Yep.
Wow. Dave Binkley, old-time radio aficionado. Communications, incommunicado, author, and don't
you
forget.
You say tomato, I say tomato. Oh, go ahead.
Politician, you were on a ballot. You were a write-in candidate.
Yes. I had one vote for the mayor of Akron this last election. And it wasn't me. Voted or not, I would have voted for me too.
There you go.
Then I'd have two ballots.
We could have got Clink to vote for you. God bless him, wherever he is.
Yeah. So
in the great space.
Yep, this will be my fourth book.
Okay.
This will be my fourth book. And what's funny is, you know, I owe this all to Dale because I just doing the show. I just came up with this idea for Ugg, and I thought it would be a one-off thing, but we kept doing topics, and I kept thinking of things that Ugg could invent that in general had to do with some of those topics. And before I knew it, I already have 12 stories, and I want to get it to 20, along with an extra bonus history of the story I gave about how Shiver Me Timbers came to be. Yes. So that'll all be in the.
Yeah, and if you go to Amazon now and Google Dave Binkley. First, there's some other Dave Binkley who spells his name wrong.
Yeah.
And then, but if you scroll in there, or depending how your search comes up, there's a couple books that Dave has done, and the one that I'm most curious about is, Dave, it's got a lengthy title.
Oh, how to go to Barcelona.
How to go to a bar alone and stay that way. Yeah.
How to go to a bar alone and stay that way.
It's a guide for the average American male who's single, wants to stay that way, and couldn't get a date anyway. What it is, it's the ultimate guide on how not to pick up women. Because that's what we knew the best.
Yes. So, writing from his vast pool of experience.
Yes.
There you go. Oh, Fogsbean owns that one. Excellent. Very good. Well, with that being said, let us wrap this up. And who knows, we may even have some bonus material or some other way to punish you for tuning in to Erie House Radio as we wrap up Queen of the Cats from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
This is WBBM Chicago News Radio 78. The time, 11:03. It's a chilly 37 degrees.
In J.M. Barrie's play, Peter Pan, the tiny sliver of darting, reflecting light, who is called Tinkerbell, when she is dying and fading from the light of the world, is revived by Peter Pan's fervent plea to the audience. If you believe in fairies, clap your hands, and Tinkerbell will be saved. Or words to that effect. It is an appeal that never fails. Young and old find themselves responding, even vocally, and certainly from the heart. Do we believe as profoundly, or even more so, in the spirits of darkness and terror and total destruction? It's a question you may answer for yourself after the conclusion of our tale.
Yes?
Mr. Reddick? Tony?
They're speaking. Miss Taylor?
Yes. I was wondering, did that sweet child, Carrie, give you my message?
Well, yes, ma'am, she did. I was going to call you first thing this morning, but you beat me to it. I didn't want to call too early.
Heavens, I've been up since dawn. My kitties wake me with the sun. I've just been waiting till you got to your office. Even thought you might be later with a young lady to dally with.
Well, there hasn't been much time for dalliance. I was up all night with the sheriff hunting that panther, the cougar, whatever it is we got killing here.
Does that mean you ain't coming out to see me?
What? No, ma'am. As a matter of fact, I want to talk to you myself. I'll be out to see you right after lunch.
That's right, nice. I'll be looking for you.
Morning, Tony.
Hey, darling, I thought you'd still be catching some shut-eye after last night. I didn't know you were here.
You were on the phone. I didn't want to barge right in.
Well, the door was open.
I know. I couldn't help overhearing the end of your conversation. You were talking to the cat lady.
Yeah, gotta go out there and see her later and break some bad news to her. But first, we forget that and proceed to this.
Mm-hmm. Now that's the way to start a day.
Yeah, and finish it. You have to go back to that damn university.
I thought I did. But I'm beginning to wonder if I should.
Hey, now, wait a minute. With your degree right around the corner, I don't want to interfere with that.
You come first in my life, Tony.
I'll buy that, with reservations. I mean, honey, we have it all planned.
I know. That was before. Before I began to get the bad vibes.
About us?
Mainly you. I get this message that you're in danger.
Me?
Both of us.
How?
I don't quite know. Well, I know you kind of laugh about ESP.
Now, wait, whoa, I don't laugh at it. I just don't buy it.
Maybe you'd better.
What are you talking at?
It's something to do with that Mrs. Taylor. She isn't what she seems to be.
She isn't just a sweet old lady with a thing for stray cats?
I mean, she isn't just a sweet old lady.
You mean she's right off the tracks?
No. No, I mean a whole lot more than that. Oh, Tony, hold me a minute.
Hey.
I'm scared.
Come on. Hey, take it
right
easy.
Right down to my heels.
Come on, sit down here. Get here. Yeah, that's better. All right, now come on, level. What is this?
I don't know how to tell you. Tony.
Mm-hmm?
You and the sheriff and a bunch of others were out all night hunting.
Yeah.
Did you see any signs of this big cat, this whatever it is, that killed that young girl?
No.
Were there any tracks around where it happened?
No, and the ground was soft enough, so they should have been. That's why folks got the notion that maybe it wasn't one big one, but a whole lot of small ones that did the damage.
Were there any small tracks?
No.
So how did a big cat like a panther get to that girl?
I don't know. Honey, what are you getting at?
Three other girls were killed this year, weren't they?
Yes.
When?
I don't know. Let's see. One early in February, then in, May sometime, then the one before this, and, well, wait a minute. I know just when it was. It was August 1st, the day after my birthday.
Candlemas, Rudemas, Lammas, and now Halloween.
Hey, Carrie, hang in there. You sound like you're going around a bend.
I'm turning some strange corners and finding myself in dark, evil places. But I can't help it. I told you I was getting bad vibes.
Look, hon, if messing around in parapsychology and metaphysics is going to get you like this, maybe you shouldn't go back to college.
It isn't parapsychology. Exactly. It's just... Tony, part of our courses are not in science, but in history. I mean... We have to study the Kabbalah, demonology, witchcraft, and so on.
But that's just superstition, a perversion of anything that's really scientifically supernatural.
Right at this moment, I'm not sure, Tony. Oh, don't go and see Mrs. Taylor, please.
Honey, I've got to. She's a client. And why not?
Because it's full moon. It's Halloween. And whether or not you think I'm crazy, I think she's a witch.
Witch. Meddling little fool with her childish dabblings into a world far beyond her. If she thought she had special perceptions, had she no knowledge of how rudimentary they were and how sophisticated and total mine are? But now she has loosed the winds of disaster, and no one can blow them out but themselves, unless both she and her manslave are destroyed before their knowledge can infect and drive an already uneasy town into an unchecked witch hunt. But first... One last effort to calm his suspicions. And someone better than me for that. Harris. Harris, the spellbinding. The sensual, the supreme, salacious epitome of man's basest desire. Shamalook! Yes, mistress of my soul. Harris. My domestic familiar, I give you back your own shape as you began when you first evolved from the cat. And I abjure you this. Capture and enslave the young man, Tony Reddick. Wash his mind of all suspicion of me and us and ours and of the child woman who put it there. It shall be done. It will be done. I so command you in the name of him whose name must never be said aloud. Do not fail. I will not fail. If you do, you will send us back to full slavery as a beast. And you and I will cease to exist from now till the end of time. Go! He is here! Won't you come in?
Well, thank you. I wanted to see Mrs. Taylor. Is she in?
She's not feeling too well.
Oh.
She's in bed. She asked me to see you instead. I'm her niece, Harris Rawlock.
Well, how do you do? I hadn't known that Mrs. Taylor had someone living with her until Carrie, that's Miss Chisholm, my fiancé, mentioned something about it today.
I just arrived.
Are you from America?
No, I am from Europe, Transylvania.
Well, that's in Romania. How did you get a visa?
Oh, I got it.
I didn't mean to be nosy. I can see where most things aren't too difficult for you, Miss, Rola?
I prefer first names. Mine is Harris, and yours is Tony.
Yeah, well, that's close enough. It sounds better.
So, what did you want to see my aunt about?
Well, that's kind of a long, complicated story, Miss... Harris.
Is it about the cats?
Well, yes. Yeah. Harris, I'm going to level with you. You know there have been some strange deaths around here.
I know. But you know these little cats were not responsible.
Well, if it was a big mountain cat of some kind, we'd have flushed them out by now. I know damn well it couldn't have been the ordinary little cats.
Then what? Or who?
Not who. No human being could have... mauled anyone the way those kids were torn up.
So? What?
I don't know. I've had an explanation that I can't quite dig, or believe.
Would I believe it?
Why, I won't try you. Let me talk to you.
No, you can't go in there.
I've got to. Now let me go.
You really want me to?
And I don't mean to be ungallant, but...
You can't be unfeeling also. You're a very attractive man.
Well, you're a very tempting woman.
Let me tempt you.
You got me too late. I'm a good boy now.
Are you so sure? Kiss me.
Oh, come on.
But not like a good boy. Like a very bad boy.
Yeah, wow. What are you after?
Sooner or later, what I need from everyone, your immortal soul. Kiss me again.
No. Look, this... Harris?
Yes.
But you're not. You're changing as I look at you. You're Sarah Taylor. Harry was right. You are a...
Damn you to eternal hell. If I cannot destroy you in one shape, I will go through all of them to stop you. And all meddlers in our world, die, fool, die. No one must know my secret.
Sheriff?
Well, I can't rightly tell you, Miss Chisholm. He wasn't marked up too bad, but he sure lost a lot of blood.
What happened?
He got me. I had a show cause order from the health department. I took it out to Miss Taylor's. Well, when I got there, the door was open. I didn't get no answer, and when I went in, well, that's when I found Tony.
Where was Mrs. Taylor?
I don't know. Unless one of them cats carried her off.
A cat?
Look, ma'am. I got there just at dusk, and I had a deputy with me. We both seen a big mountain cat. Only one such I never seen. Loping away just as we got there. I sent a couple of shots after her, but I missed.
But it wasn't carrying anyone.
Oh, no. If it was an animal like that, well, there must have been two. And the first one carried off Miss Taylor.
Or the one you shot at was Mrs. Taylor.
Now, Miss Chisholm, I listened to all you said, but I'm a plain man, and even at Halloween, I don't take so good to tricks and superstition.
Okay, you don't believe me.
Now, I ain't had no college education.
Never mind that. You have a posse going hunting that cat?
Sure have. It's caused enough damage.
Can I come along?
Oh, well, no, I don't know about that.
But... Elijah Baskin, you know my father was D.J. Chisholm. He taught me to shoot and handle a gun since the day I was 12. It's a day of women's liberation, and besides, I'm the only one of you can carry an old Sharp's rifle that's fitted to fire its own ammo.
Well, that ain't much of a recommendation.
You better change your mind. The bullets in my magazine bag are the only thing that'll bring your black mountain cat down.
They're hunting me down through the night again, as they have through all recorded history. The bullets whistle through the air and chunk home into trees. In other years, there have been arrows before that. Same fish, same thrunk as they found a mark. Only century after century, they travel faster and make more noise. And even if I am hit, what does it matter? I have 9 times 99 lives to use up, even more than the lesser gods. And no bullet that is not blessed by St. Hubert can touch me. And who in the 20th century ever heard of St. Hubert, let alone a werewolf? But someone... That was no ordinary bullet. Oh, no. No. Not the end. The end of time. Of timeless time. And yet, I know...
I guess I owe you an apology, Miss Chisholm.
Why?
Well, you was the one brought that cat down.
I only fired the gun. A bullet found the mark.
You aimed it.
But God drove it home.
Pardon?
You know my daddy belonged to a little church way up in the hills north of here? I don't even know to this day what denomination it was, but it was called St. Hubert's. My daddy always said he was the patron saint of hunters, and he claimed every bullet he owned was blessed by the church. It was one of those I fired. But I fired at a black cat.
Good Lord. That wasn't no black cat we hit. It's a young woman.
Watch.
Oh, the shape is changing. It. Why, that's Miss Taylor.
Whatever her real name was. Look now.
Oh. Ain't nothing left but decaying flesh. Oh, and even that's gone now. It's just a skeleton.
Bones of which are turning to dust. You know something, Sheriff? No one will ever believe what we have seen. Something as old as time. A werewolf in all its aspects. The best of which is dead. Forever.
Isn't that a nice, gruesome little tale for Halloween? I hope you enjoyed it, or at least were caught in its spell. If you were, have no worries, because I can assure you that, like the witch in The Wizard of Oz, ding dong, this wicked old witch is dead. I'll be back shortly.
Have you winterized your car yet? This is Gene King for the Council of Better Business Bureaus. You know, with winter not that far away, many motorists are looking for bargains in antifreeze products. But don't be fooled by so-called inexpensive solutions, which promise to do the same thing as regular antifreeze. These solutions usually contain methanol, a solution which boils away quickly. You could be hurting your car's engine rather than helping it run smoothly. You know, times are hard, but be sure you don't have to pay two prices. One for the so-called bargain antifreeze, and another for real antifreeze when the first solution boils away. Why not have your regular service station attendant check your antifreeze? If the mixture needs to be changed, don't buy just any antifreeze product. Check the label first. And while you're at it, it's a good idea to have the hoses and connections in the cooling system checked, too. This is a common trouble spot in winter.
Halloween is a time of thrills and chills, of brooding mystery and terrifying shadows. But it's also a time to rejoice, for with All Saints' Day, the world rises anew. So, one cheery note to end all this. Tony Reddick did recover with few scars to show for his experience. Our cast included Tammy Grimes, Joe Silver, Jack Grimes, and Betsy Beard. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
My friend, you do have papers, don't you?
Papers?
I do, and I don't.
Well, what does that mean?
It means I have papers that I can flash, but not the kind of papers that can really be examined.
Are they forged?
No. They're real. A buddy stole them from that machine shop in Glassenheim. There is a guy named Louis Cardinet. Except he's twice my age and half my size.
Yeah, well, there's no help for it. You will have to show the papers.
But I can't.
Do not panic.
I gotta get out of here.
Where can you go?
Out the other end of the car. If I have to, I'll jump off the train. Maybe I can climb onto the roof.
You can't do that.
It's worth a try.
Ah, it's too late. See? Another team of SS inspectors has just entered. Both exits are blocked.
Oh, now what am I gonna do?
Think, my friend. Think of something.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre.
Macabre.
Until next time, pleasant dreams.
WBBM Chicago, News Radio 78. The following is a paid political announcement.
Maybe some of you haven't decided if you're going to vote on Tuesday. Well, really think about the last 8 years. Have the Republicans really done anything? Rampant inflation, unemployment that only threatens to go higher, total indifference to the needs of the average family. This is the legacy of the Republican administrations, and you can depend on one thing for sure. If you stay home on November 2nd, we're going to get Gerald Ford, Robert Dole, and the Republican Party for 4 more years. There are enough people in this country who want a Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale Democratic administration, but are just too lazy to take the 30 minutes to go to the polls. Honestly now, isn't it important enough to take the time? Listen.
So I just have to put my faith and my future in your hands. If we've made mistakes that you don't want to see made again, I hope that you'll make a strong effort to get people to go to the polls and vote.
On Tuesday, vote for Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale, paid and authorized by the 1976 Democratic Presidential Campaign Committee, Incorporated.
After Nixon, the Democrats could have sent Mickey Mouse, and they did. No. It's an old joke. That wraps up Queen of the Cats. Am I alone again? Dave? CW, are you with me? Yeah, well. Well, they're going to come in to me and say...
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
There we go.
Hello?
There, CW is back. Now we just got to give Dave a sharp poke in the arm.
Heard that little political catty remark there. Meow!
I couldn't resist. Well, all right. Well, you're going to have to do the moral, CW. Erie House Radio proudly presents live from the emergency center a moral of the story without Gar. There we go.
The moral of the story is the following. The queen is here. Deal with it. And there you have it.
There you go. Look at that, Dave.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear
no.
me now?
No, Dave, we can't hear you saying, can you hear me now?
All right. Well, I'm going to have to hang up and call back in again.
Yes, please do. Several times.
Are you on? What are you on, Google or?
I'm on Google Phone this time now because I was on the Direct Connect last night, and it cut off my mic, and I called off and called back and called off and called back, and then used my cell phone, and then went to Google Voice, and then I was back finally.
Yes, they were very mean to Dave yesterday.
My goodness,
they were mean to me. I thought they liked me. I thought they really, really liked me. But no, they don't.
How cruel. How cruel. Actually, if Google drops you, try hooking your Wi-Fi onto your local Chick-fil-A. They have real good Wi-Fi.
Okay, my local Chick-fil-A is about 2.5 miles away. I don't think I can get it from here.
A wire, MacGyver it, wire hanger, a wire hanger and a lot of foil.
Yes.
But then the aliens come if you use too much foil, you see.
Yes. They get in my hat.
I got to be careful of that.
There's that. Priorities. You got to have your priorities. Aliens or Wi-Fi? You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it is a kind of a tough choice, Dave. Aliens, Wi-Fi. Aliens, Wi-Fi.
I don't know what to do. Why not use... Well, see, why not use alien Wi-Fi? Coming to you from a local UFO. Oh, alien Wi-Fi. Ready for you.
Now there is a thought.
Yes. People of Earth, we have better Wi-Fi than you. Prepare yourselves.
That's right.
Hey, if that happened, I'd surrender. You know, if they got better Wi-Fi, I'd go with them.
Well, I'm not worried. We'll just take the Wi-Fi and boot up Miss Slim Whitman.
Oh, sorry, I hit a microphone in Chang's restaurant over there in the kitchen. I apologize. I forgot to turn it off.
Nothing like a cat fight, yeah.
I don't know if that sounds like a cat fight or shoppers at a buy one, get one 50% off sale.
Oh, there you go. Shoppers on Black Friday.
Oh, God, yeah.
There you go.
It's all go.
That's all right.
I put together, remember I did the ghost train thing? I put together a little thing for Kathleen. Let me see if you guys can hear this.
Sure.
Let me see this.
Put it on there, Dave. What the hell?
Yes. There you go.
Cats.
I call that one
cat.
No. But I call that one cat out of bag. So it's a looping thing I put together. Yeah.
Oh.
Hmm.
So what did you have to squeeze your cats to make them make the noise? Or?
No. No real cats were harmed in the making of this song.
Oh, good. Good.
We have a program, Kathleen.
Being an ally of Sister Knucklebuster, I also happen to be an ally of PETA and about five other animal rights groups to watch it.
No. Cats were harmed in the making of the song.
Better not be, Dave.
I have
we'll
a cousin
both give you the business.
Who does a cat. She does a program called Cat Suit. Her name is Kathleen. And so I wrote this, and we use this at the end of her show now. So,
that's cute.
Very nice.
She doesn't
Wouldn't
make
be fun,
cats
though,
in there
if you ended her show with this.
That would be something. That would be something.
Yep, straight from the kitchen. Terrible. It's terrible. They do there. Kind of reminds me of that one Three Stooges. It was a Shemp one where they're eating in that restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Larry goes on the cat's tail with the rocking chair, and Mo thinks he ate a cat.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And that hot dog, the funniest part was when the hot dog started licking Shemp's face like a dog. That was hilarious and a little disturbing.
Just a tad.
I watched a documentary on Joe Derita in his time spent with the Stooges, and actually, I almost wish I'd seen some of those. They actually did some science fiction things with Joe Derita. Joe Derita.
The Three Stooges in Orbit is one of them.
No, well, okay, then who is the one? Joe Besser, I'm sorry. Joe Besser, they did a couple of science fiction Stooges with Joe Besser, the shorts.
Did they?
And I've never seen those before.
Yeah, you don't see the Joe Besser ones that much. You crazy you.
Oh, my gosh, there are so
don't
many
do
people
that.
Who are so particular about Joe Besser versus Curly Joe Derita versus, you know, they get so particular. I mean, my gosh, it's akin to Star Trek versus Star Wars. Calm down, everybody.
Well, yeah, it always goes back to everybody comparing them to Curly, you know? It always goes back to that.
I think undeniably Curly is by far the most popular. He has to be. I mean, He's undeniably
the
best.
Shep was one of the original ones. Shep was funny too. If there had not been a Curly, Shep may have been remembered as the funniest stooge.
True.
Yes, there were some good ones with Shemp. So he did have some really good lines and some good moments there as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I suppose now, you know, I've been queen for a day, but now I must go back to my normal status of empress.
Okay.
All right. Are you flying a little early, are you?
Go back to...
Yeah, I've been
flying a little. I can go back to being
a...
So, Dale, what's happening on Area House next week?
Not a damn thing. We're folding the tents, kids. No,
Well,
we're going on a cruise, kind of. It's Bon Voyage, Erie House, as we go on some journeys and things of that nature. Friday, 6:30 Eastern, Lights Out, Crime Club, and Midnight. And then next Saturday, of course, another CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Bring your life preservers. Life preservers will not be provided.
Call the neighbors, wake the kids.
It's the Titanic all over again.
Oh, we're sunk.
Too bad about radio.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, since television, you know, hardly anybody listens to radio anymore.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that if I were you. There's a radio in use for every man, woman, and teenager in America.
Really?
Marmalade.
Gee, I hate to think of them all turning them on at once.
They do. Every morning.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night. Long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady, oh, who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring, or fall, who listens to radio? Only 150 million people.
There's a good way to fill in when you got a couple minutes left. All right. Again, we're going cruising next weekend. So join us. Is Gar on tonight? I know he wasn't
Gar's
on that
on
great yesterday. Ah, good. So head on over to the Twitches in about a minute and 40 seconds for
Twitch.
Horrible Horror starring...
That guy who was in the emergency room giving us a play-by-play.
Yep. That's a trooper. Call in from the emergency room, that is a trooper.
If you have a chance, tune in to at least, if you've heard the show, go into the after party and listen to what Dale and I are doing to poor Gar, who's wandering around this emergency room in the hospital and the pharmacy and looking for his car.
Yeah.
Gar called me and said, that was the funniest thing we ever did.
It's pretty good, I'll tell you that.
Oh, wow. The intercom, calling Dr. Pepper.
Calling Dr. Howard, calling Dr. Fine, calling Dr. Howard. Yep. All right, thanks again, Fogsbane, and good old Bob for joining us. We'll see you next week. Head on over to Twitches.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
Me and her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
We are both of you, Mr. Price.
If the clock was right, I would have done that perfectly. Yeah.
I was going to say, my clock was really off there.
Mine was yesterday. It was absurd. It was, well, it was Blog Talk. Damn.
On your blog, they're in a time zone all unto themselves.
Yep.
Yep. Fun show tonight, guys. Neat story. Fun show.
Yep.
Thanks for letting us throw those facts out there.
Oh, we'd love the stuff you bring to the show. Absolutely. In fact, you inspired each of us to want to look something up. I want to look up the Queen of the Circus crime, or murders, rather.
Yeah, Circus Queen Murders, Dwight Fry, Adolph Monjou.
Yeah, I love Dwight Fry. He's cool. He was in a lot of things, not just Dracula. I think, wasn't he also in Frankenstein?
I think
he was the original Hugo, I think. And then he played various villagers throughout the Universal canon. He was always the guy that wanted to blow up the castle. I'm going to run down there and blow up the castle.
Yeah. That's our only hope.
Yeah.
And
he was an interesting guy.
Months.
Another immigrant, just like Peter Lorre.
Hmm. Oh, and don't forget your movie, Dave, with Mr. Sinatra. Stop beaming out.
Yeah.
Dave's
with
beaming
that.
In and out.
I had to move that. I had to put that down. I plugged my watch back in to get charged again, so it kind of made my phone go nuts. So. We have filmed our hosting segments for our next Weirdness Really Bad movie.
Ooh.
We went to Rubber City Clothing in Akron, and we're doing the movie Dressed to Kill.
Cool.
It's the only way to fly.
I've got it partially already edited down, and we'll eventually be over there on the Internet Archive as well as on the Vortex and so our local stations and such like that. So,
yep.
So put on your very.
I was going to go through and post some pictures from the shoot. There, so that could be fun.
Ooh, outstanding. But again, it's called Assault on the Queen. That your favorite guy, Mr. Albert Francis Sinatra.
And, you know, I just always, he always did something a little bit different. I know that one of his last gigs was, he was on an episode of Magnum. And he literally threw, he wasn't scripted this way, but he literally was trying to get information out of the guy. They literally threw the guy through the window, the diner window, literally. And they were not expecting, he broke the glass and everything, just threw the guy out. And that's the kind of thing Sinatra would sometimes do, depending on the role he was in. And I guess he was an aging private detective and wanted that information. And wow, that was something else, I tell you.
Yeah, I heard that he could get a little sensitive on set. That what was the movie he did with Gene Kelly, and for someone who was not a trained dancer at all, he did very well. He kept up with Gene Kelly and the other dancer. I can't remember his name, but he was a professional.
Oh yeah, the one. Yeah, the ones
away.
That On the Town.
Yeah.
Well, Anchors Away, but On the Town is where they had the extra one. Anchors Away was mostly those two. He did three films with Sinatra, with Gene Kelly and Sinatra did together. And Gene said he did, dumb down the dance routines a little bit, but Frank kept up with what he was doing, so.
Now, I didn't know he actually dumbed down the dance routine, seriously?
Yeah, I mean, because there's no way Frank Sinatra could have kept up with what he could do. And it's just like when he did Singing in the Rain, Debbie Reynolds had never done any kind of – she'd done a little bit of tap dance, but she'd never done anything like that. And Donald O'Connor was also a trained dancer too. So,
no, he was amazing.
She was the one that really had to try – she had to try and keep up with the two of them. And I thought that was pretty amazing that she did that.
That is – there's something I remember reading in her biography about that. Gene Kelly – I mean, as you said, Donald O'Connor had been dancing since he was a child, so there wasn't anything Gene Kelly could throw at him that he couldn't do. In some respects, he outdanced him. But Debbie Reynolds – was a basket case, and she just started crying on the set. And when she was on the set by herself, somebody was walking by and asked her what was the problem, and she told him that she just couldn't keep up. And the person she was talking to, who later coached her to get through that scene, that was Fred Astaire. Fred Astaire took her aside and coached her to keep up with Gene Kelly, who was really, I'm sorry, Gene Kelly, according to her, was literally riding her like a horse in getting the scene right.
Whoa.
He kept the down, Dale, down.
down.
Whoa.
And even Donald O'Connor says, so Gene Kelly, he demanded perfection. And one day they were shooting and they were going at it. And every time he turned around, Gene Kelly was yelling at Donald O'Connor. And he said, you know, so they do it again. And they yell at him again and do it again. And he's thinking, I'm not doing it wrong. And so after the shoot, they went and Donald O'Connor went to the bar, and Gene Kelly ran into him there and said, what was that all about? I said, well, I was really kind of meaning that towards her, but I couldn't do that to her, you know? So he was yelling at Donald O'Connor, even though Donald O'Connor was getting it right, you know? But he expected perfection. He wanted everything to be right. I mean, and his was mostly where Fred Astaire's was about grace. Gene Kelly was about athleticism, and he and his brother were gymnasts, you know?
Yes,
so,
they were a gymnast and acrobatic. Have you ever seen that snippet of Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire dancing together?
Yeah, it was they did it only a couple times, once on television, once for the movie That's Entertainment. I think that's the only two times we actually danced together.
There was a snippet called, it wasn't That's Entertainment, it was something else, but it's a segment called The Babbitt and the Bromide.
Right. And I think they did that on television. I don't think they did that in the movie, did they?
I think it was in a movie. It was really
technical. Oh, maybe
it was.
Okay. It may have been.
I'm wondering, did Gene Kelly scream at the animators when he had to dance with Jerry the Mouse?
Well, you know what's funny about that is Gene Kelly wanted to do it, and he wanted to do it, and MGM, he was working for MGM, and he said, can we use Jerry Mouse? He says, yeah, but we can't do that. So he went to Disney, says, what you want is impossible, but I'll give you my best animators to do it. And so, although it was an MGM movie, it was they took Jerry Mouse and danced with Gene Kelly.
Yep.
Fabulous.
I wonder if they used any rotoscoping as a baseline for it. Rotoscoping is where
I would imagine so.
Draw a cell over a live object. You know what I mean? That's how they, the Gulliver's Travels why Gulliver looks so much more realistic than the Lilliputians is he was rotoscoped. They actually drew him over movie cells.
I was wondering
frame.
About that texturing of the character of Gulliver. It was so kind of different. Didn't they rotoscope one of the Superman?
I think there was some there, and there was a lot of it in that, what was that early Hobbit, the one of the Lord of the Rings thingies?
The
yeah, old
the
one.
Hobbit?
That, yeah, the animated thingy.
The Rankin-Bass?
Yeah. Yes.
Rankin-Bass. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it was the Rankin-Bass. Wasn't there some other ones?
Really?
Ralph Bakshi did the animation.
I'll have to look that
arts.
One up. I don't remember. I
yeah,
only
look
remember
up Ralph Bakshi. Hold on there. It's B-A-K-S-H-I. Hold on. Because he did some of the backgrounds, like that artsy stuff on the 60s Spider-Man cartoon also.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Wow.
So it was that same format for what I'm trying. Here, where you go. Ralph, IMDb never fails. There we go. Lord of the Rings, not the Hobbit one. He did the Lord of the Rings one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hold on.
I always like the Hobbit one because they used Glenn Yarborough singing throughout it, and Orson Bean was the Hobbit, I think, wasn't he?
Bilbo or Frodo?
Oh, wow, he worked on Cool World. I did not know.
Really?
Oh, okay.
That
was interesting. That was interesting.
I know Cool World didn't go over well with a lot of people, but I rather enjoyed it.
Oops, he worked on Fritz the Cat. Also did, there was one called Wizards in 1977, something called Wizards, and then in 78, The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
So he went from Fritz the Cat to Lord of the Rings. Okay, that's quite a portfolio.
Fire and Ice was a neat, like a sword and sorcery, and that would have a little bit of rotoscoping. It almost looked like Frank Frazetta art in it, Fire and Ice in 1983.
Did he work on heavy metal?
Oddly, no. No. I used to collect Heavy Metal magazine, and there were a lot of interesting artists in there. That was very adult material, though. That was, like, definitely a magazine. That was not a comic book in the day. That would have never passed the little stamp in the corner.
You know Heavy Metal, the rock and roll animation thing I'm talking about, right? Not the magazine.
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was based on Heavy Metal magazine. Those stories were taken right from it, and some of the same artists did the art in the animated movie. Yeah, they were taken directly from there.
I've seen it, and I've also seen the sequel to it. It's
sequel.
Okay, but quite frankly... There was another one, Heavy Metal 2000 or something.
Yeah.
Either or. They were okay, but, you know, they... I don't know, it was kind of weak, to be perfectly frank. I mean,
the animation
was fine.
He worked on the Deputy Dog Show in 1963 on three episodes as a director.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Then the Mighty Heroes in 1966. Bakshi. And then the Spider-Man TV series from 68 to 70, directed 25 episodes there. And I know his artwork, you know what I mean? The art that was used. He was into a lot of weird stuff.
I like Franzetta, and I like, what was the other fellow, Boris Vallejo?
Boris Vallejo and Bernie Wrightson. Bernie Wrightson is good, too.
Oh, and the brothers Hildebrandt.
Yes. Didn't they do a lot of paperback with the Hillebrand brothers? What was that series? Some Kind of Thief or something. Those were sword and sorcery tales, I think.
Yes,
I think they did paperback covers for those as well as the other stuff they're known for.
I think, I don't know if they ever were allowed to do any of the paperbacks when they did a few paperbacks of Conan the Barbarian. I think that was always Vallejo. I think.
There was another guy, Barry Smith, that did the real early comic books of Conan in like the 70s. I didn't think much of Conan at the time because I had not yet read the Robert E. Howard stories and caught the full history of it. I just liked the art of Barry Smith. But yeah, I think Vallejo did a lot of art of Conan, as did Frazetta, as did others.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's been a host of different artists that have done that.
I'm on a little discovery. This book my daughter bought me of the non-EC horror comics, and there's some pretty interesting artists in there.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's got reprints in there of some of the old. There were other horror comic tales besides EC. EC is like just the best remembered and most, you know, gets the most attention. But there were a lot of comic titles in the 50s.
I'm gonna have to do a little diving into the comic book artist, because it is still sadly a really male-oriented thing.
It was. It's probably changed since then.
One would like to think so, but anytime you ever see guest appearance at comic conventions, it's still a lot of guys.
Hmm. There might be a reason. I don't know. I don't know.
Because they're not dying off quickly enough?
Oh, wow. Well, maybe you can help that along. No, jeez. Atta girl.
Ah, thank you. But with that said, I must be away. And I'll do my final duty of the evening.
Very well.
I will. Without further ado, hear ye, hear ye. Her Royal Majesty is summoning Mr. Durante to the keyboard. Take it away.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night.
I love that goat. Not
good
literally.
Night. We had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Maribo, up we the same, and in cut think to do. Good night.
Ha-cha-cha.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night already.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
She is our royal lady in waiting. Calabash.
Show starts in 3 minutes.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
Arrivederci. A la vista.
Adios.
Adios, muchachos. Caballeros.
Can you get out of here?